says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. There's things that are not done yet. But yet, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, and I also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, purposed it, and also I will also do it. You know, God's in control. He has a plan and a purpose. He says he has not finished it. There's still a plan and purpose going on even today. Through the whole midst of everything, God is in control. There's no other God but God himself. No one higher than him. Satan is a created being. He's not even equal to God. Right? God is God. We worship a God who is in control. We worship a God that says, you know what? There's a plan and purpose, and I'm fulfilling my plan and purpose today. Do we believe that? You know, our Heavenly Father is all sufficient. He's all known, all powerful, mighty, and encourager, deliverer, redeemer to those who put their hope and trust in Him alone. Is our faith secure in Him today? I think of how He wants us to live in this journey. Because this life is just a journey. It is preparing us to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. And sometimes we go through tough things. We go through difficulties. And God's still in it. He's actually the one carrying us through it. So in First John chapter 2. Yeah. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to 29.
And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're supposed to abide in the Lord. Right? And we're supposed to be not ashamed. We're not supposed to be ashamed. What's there to be ashamed of? To be living for the Lord Jesus. Right? There's nothing to be ashamed of for living for the Lord. Right? He's given us life. He's taken us out of darkness. He's taken us out of sin. Sin no longer has a hold on you. Sometimes we sin, but it doesn't have a control of your life. When we sin, we repent, and God makes us right. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Who has that? Since not a lot of the kids are here today, we'll see if some adults know where Hebrews 3 is. Verse 12 to 15. Oh, look at that. Eric's on the ball. Yeah, Hebrews 3, 12 to 15.
See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's
deceitfulness.
We have come to share in Christ. If we hold firmly till the end of the confidence we had at first, as has just been said. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion.
Unbelief causes us to depart from the Lord. Is there unbelief in our hearts? And if there is, we can just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Right? Help me, Lord, in my unbelief. Help me to trust you where I'm unable to trust you. And it says that in verse 14 in New King James, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ. So we become partakers of Christ. We sit at the table and we partake. We take from the table what we need. He's given us everything that we need, but are we partaking from Christ? It says, if you hear his voice, we know that God still speaks. But when we hear his voice, what do we do? Do we get excited or do we get scared? Does his voice, do we hide when we hear his voice? Or do we run to him with excitement? What's our response when we come to the Lord? He is speaking to us. He speaks to us daily. What is the Lord speaking to us about? And what is our response to his voice? Those are some questions. What is our response? You think about the Israelites at Mount Sinai. They all heard God's voice. But yet they chose... No, Moses, you go before us. You speak to God on our behalf. They were afraid. And every time God speaks to his children or to speak to whoever, he says, do not be afraid. He assures his children, his people, not to be afraid of him, but come to him. So 2 Timothy 3, this is a long one. 10 to 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. You have it? Okay.
You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Amen. That's what the Word of God does. It equips us. You know, it's just, sometimes we don't like to be corrected or reproof. Because there's a thing that says, judge not, for thee be judged. Well, that's out of context. And in the body of Christ, we need to be corrected, reproved, mentored. Because sometimes we go astray. And out of love, we correct one another. We need to be accountable to one another. And not just to say that I'm accountable just to God. That's a cop-out. We're also accountable to one another. We're ultimately accountable for God, but we're also accountable to one another. So when we are going walking astray, out of love, I will come to you and ask you and reveal to you your sin or the way of your way is wrong. We correct one another out of love. If I didn't love you, I would just say, just keep on living however you want. That's not the way of God. He corrects us. Evil men, imposters, will grow worse and worse. We see that today, deceiving and being deceived. We see how Satan deceives those who are unbelievers. We see these things happening. That the man of God may be complete, so the man of God become mature. The word of God matures us when we apply the word and walk out the word. We need to apply the word to our life. So Romans 13, 12 to 14. So Romans 13, 12 to 14. Yeah, 12 to 14. So Romans 13, 12 to 14. Who has it? Does Marv have it? Huh? Okay. Well, here we go over to you guys.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Yeah. To put on the armor of light, we need to put off the old nature. Because we know the old nature rises up once in a while. Right? We know that. But God's given us a remedy. He gives us, helps us to not to put on the old nature, but to put it off and to put on the new nature. It's something that we need to die to. And say, Lord, I don't want to live how I used to live, but I want to live how you want me to live today. That our desire for every day is to get in the Word of God, which transforms our minds. Which renews our mind to grow in godly character, to have our hearts transformed. If we're not in the Word of God and spending time with God, how can our hearts be transformed? Right? So Ephesians 6 to 10 to 12, or sorry, it's Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Yeah, Ephesians 6. So verses 10 to 20. Who has that one? Yeah, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Okay.
All right. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you are extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearless, as I should.
Amen. The armor of God. The armor of God is supposed to be as believers, we're supposed to wear the armor of God. It provides the believer with divine power from the Lord Jesus. Our own strength is never strong enough to oppose Satan. It's not our strength that we stand against Satan. But we could stand with what Paul says in Philippians 4:13. Says, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We come to Christ with nothing. We don't come to Christ with our strength or our abilities. He gives us the strength. He gives us the victory. I can only stand against Satan because of the victory of Christ on the cross. Sometimes we try and do things in our own strength, and that's when we're going to flop. And when we got to remember, prayer, how many times did it say pray? Pray. We're supposed to pray. That's one of our weapons that we are given. Prayer is an important factor. And sometimes we like to, you know, say in Jesus' name, Satan, be quiet. But we don't pray. We take authority from Christ that gives it to us, but we need to pray. Lord, I'm praying for this situation. Lord, I'm looking to you for your strength and your ability to know, stand up against what's coming against me. Lord, help me give the wisdom how to navigate through this. You know, believers battle through the means of prayer. To be on our knees praying. That's how we battle, is by prayer and supplication. We pray. You look in the early church in Acts, they prayed. When they wanted to know, God, where you want us to go, how did you want us to be influenced in this area, they prayed. They prayed. They got on their knees and prayed. And then through prayer, they got knowledge of how to do it. And then it also, by prayer, it shows obedience to the word of God. It's getting in line with God. When we pray, We come in under the alignment of the Word of God. We align ourselves with the Word of God, not taking it out of context, but being in context with the Word of God says. And then we walk in faith. We step out in faith. When God says, go, go. When he says, keep on praying, keep on praying. Right? That's part of the verse 10. As we study and meditate and proclaim the truth of God's word, we use God. God's provided us with all spiritual weapons to destroy false teachings and wage war on the truth that cloud the minds of the deceived. We see a lot of people deceived. Satan in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says he's the one that deceives the unbelievers. And we see how many people are deceived. And some of the church is deceived because they know the Word of God, but they do not walk in the Word of God. It says, don't be just hearers of God's Word, but doers of the Word, so you're not deceived. I think that's James 4:10, right? He says, if we are not operating in God's Word and not stepping out in God's Word, we are deceiving ourselves. So we are deceived at times when we don't operate in God's word. Right? And we see that with the church as a whole. Right? Verse 11, we put on the armor. So it's an act. We put on the armor. In God's army, we come with nothing. He supplies everything that we need. We are to put on the armor to be fully equipped. That's what God does. We come with nothing. All we say is, Lord, here I am. Use me. Prepare me. Everybody? The Lord totally equips us and gives us everything necessary for life and godliness. We just need to put on and apply and abide in his word. We do not just join God's army and suddenly decide to become civilians once again. Once you become a soldier in God's army, you're a soldier in God's army. No more sitting on the sidelines. A soldier is always training, always preparing, always getting ready. Right? He runs through the tactical things and get ready to improve. Not to get fat and lazy. Can you imagine an army fat and lazy? Shoot donuts at each other. It might be a good... But the war that we are in is a spiritual war. If we don't know the Word of God, then we can be deceived. And then we could be shipwrecked. We'll follow false teachings and be led astray. We are strengthened by God, and we are able to stand firm to resist the devil and his schemes. James 4:10 says, therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. James 4:10 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. First thing we got to do is what? Submit to God. How many of us are submitting to God today? I know sometimes I don't submit to God. But he says, this is the proper order. If we submit to God, then we can resist the devil. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, for though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we do not war against flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty for God, pulling down strongholds. We battle against the spiritual things. And sometimes we see things that the fruit of it is exhibited through the physical. So 1 Peter 5:8, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Who wants to read that one? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9.
Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
So be, in the New King James says, be sober, be vigilant. Thank you. Yeah. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. This is why it's important to be in fellowship with believers. Because sometimes we're weak. I've always come to you look out in the wild, right? The weak animal always dies. But you know, you look at the wolf pack, we were talking about that, and how the older wolves are in the front because they set the pace. And I think the young ones are in the middle, and the warriors are at the back. So they're always scanning, looking after the ones in the front, in the middle. We got to, as a church, we look out for one another. We pray for one another, encourage one another. But we, in verse 9 it says, resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that some of the sufferings are experienced by you. So we go through some difficulties. Paul says, therefore, keep up the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground on the day of evil. The struggle is real. A struggle to stand our ground. Sometimes we like to fall back, we want to give up. It's not about using our own resources to gain new territory for ourselves. Rather, it's about using the resources that God has already given us so we can stand firm in the ground that God has already won for us. Christ is risen. He's victorious, and he's defeated death. Christ will return in fulfillment of God's great plan to sum up the things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. Ephesians 1:10. He does. When he does, it will be glorious, and we will be seen as a victor that Jesus comes back as a victor. He's given us the victory. As we walk with the Lord, He gives us victories. When we draw from his strength, say, Lord, give me strength. I need your strength today. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need your perseverance today. Lord, I'm looking to you because I can't do this. Sometimes I like it when we struggle, because then we know when we're struggling, and we don't pray, it reveals that we're operating in our own flesh. And God's sitting back there is like, oh, my children, when will they learn? You know, are these guys ever going to learn? It's like, I'm going to watch them struggle. I do that sometimes with my kids. I'm like, why are you doing it that way? That's the most difficult way to do it. Oh, well, it's frustrating, but I'm just going to let them struggle until they ask for help. Sometimes I think our Heavenly Father is that way. He watches us struggle, but he's still there. He says, here, I'm right here. I'm always with you. I'm going to help you. How come you don't call up my name and ask for help? We think about the struggles that we're going to be facing. There will be struggles this year. Right? There is going to be a lot of struggles this year. Can't sugarcoat that. But one thing I know is through these struggles, the Lord will help us. If we're willing to call out to Him and ask for help, ask for direction, ask us for how to navigate through this. He's preparing us to know Him, preparing us to trust Him with everything. Sometimes our pride has to get out of the way. Right? Sometimes we have to fall flat on our face. I think of you know, in 2 Kings 6. Yeah, 2 Kings 6. And when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by this great army, right? And his servant seeing this great army in the physical, He woke up, I believe, and he's seen this army. He goes, Elisha, look at the army. Look at this army around us. Right? And what did Elijah ask the Lord? Open his eyes. And what happened? He's seen the armies of God surrounding this other army. And he's like, wow. So probably this year, I would ask even for myself, it's like, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see how you are in this. Lord, let me not just see the physical, but see the spiritual part, how you are protecting us. Because God has protected us through these last few years. And God is still protecting us. But Lord, let us see more of the spiritual realm. Not get fuddy-duddy, but just even to be aware of how God is in control. So we don't get discouraged. But Lord, even like this, even in Elisha's servant, he's not even mentioned by name. And that could be even for us. He's like, Lord, open up Kyle's eyes today. Help me to see, help us all to see how you are encamped around. And Lord, that you take the blindness away. So Lord, I pray that today we thank you that you have given us all things necessary for life and godliness. But Lord, help us to put on the full armor of God, to stand and withstand the schemes of the enemy. And Father, that even today that you would open up our eyes to see how you are in everything, that you're surrounding us and you're protecting us, that you give us a sound mind, you give us your peace, your joy, you give us everything that you have. But Lord, I pray that we would put on those things and just say, Lord, help me today. Lord, help me to be dependent on you. And Lord, help me be on my knees praying to you. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see how you are in this situation. And Lord, thank you that you're still drawing me closer to you and how you have me in your hands. Lord, thank you that you're leading us and you're going to lead us through this new year. So Lord, I pray that we would not be discouraged, but be encouraged. Because you are the God that is in full control, as your word has said in Isaiah, that you're the God. There's no one other like you. You have a plan and a purpose. And Lord, help us to see your plan and purpose. And Lord, I pray that we would be on our knees praying for our lost family members and our friends and co-workers. Father, let us be reflecting your light in this world. Lord, let us be willing to open our mouths and share the truth of the gospel out of love towards those who are blinded from the truth. And Lord, we thank you. And as we take up communion, Lord, in this new year, Lord, we're remembering that he says, do this often out of remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we're doing this today to remember who you are, to remember how you are the Lord of our lives, how you are the Lord that is continuing working in our lives by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is alive and well in us. Forgive us at times when we quench the Holy Spirit. Lord, we repent of quenching the Holy Spirit at times, not listening to your voice or harden our hearts towards you. Lord, soften our hearts. Help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers. Lord, we thank you. We want to praise you today. Amen. As we take communion, do you guys have a song, perhaps? And we'll take communion and... I found some matzah. And we always remember, right? We look at how it's pierced and the stripes on it. Remembering Christ. And Christ is no longer on the cross. He's in heaven right now. He's presenting you before the Father with, what is that Jude 24 says? Presents you with great joy. He's presenting you before the Father with great joy. He's the resurrected Lord. We celebrate the resurrected Lord. Right? He's resurrected, interceding on our behalf. Something to be excited about. It is the excitement. He's risen. He's alive. And so we're remembering what he has done and what he's still doing in our lives. So as we take the bread of life, let's remember who Jesus is and how he is operating in our lives still today. So...